steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, all the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday, August 20th, 2026. Hope you all are having a wonderful morning. I know my morning started off fairly well. A lot of things to do today. Got a very productive day planned for my time after the show. So, you know, things started well, and hopefully the day will continue on that same trajectory. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be optimistic today, shall we? Shall we talk about good things and positive things, things that make us smile and things that have us hopeful for the future? Now, I know that it is part of the responsibility and obligation to talk about some of the negative things because we simply cannot ignore them. We cannot pretend that they don't happen. We cannot pretend that we don't have several ongoing crises taking place simultaneously in the city of Milwaukee, particularly pertaining to the African-American Black Negro youth. But the reason why we talk about those things, I know it can be very disheartening and very depressing. And when we bring those things up, people always have an excuse. And the excuse, I believe, prevents us from finding a solution. But for me, that is the point. You talk about the ugly things and the uncomfortable things and, quite honestly, the embarrassing things so that somebody somewhere gets a spark, gets a brainwave. Because the great thing about having an audience where a lot of people from different places and spaces can listen is that everyone has these different perspectives. And they also have different ways to solve problems. And the more people that hear the problems, the more diversity that we have in the problem solving. But it does get sad to talk about all of the horrible things that are going on. So we're going to do something a little different today. And also, I would like to share with you what I believe could be a fantastic economic opportunity for those of you who are currently in business. And more importantly, those of you that are seriously considering business and or entrepreneurship. Milwaukee may not offer the most plentiful of opportunities to make a good living. You have to be specialized in something. Obviously, your education, it does matter whether it's a trade education, a technical education. You have to have some kind of skill. And I believe personally, I believe this, I really do, that everybody is good at something, or everybody has a passion that they will be very devoted to. And it is my hope and my intent, quite honestly, that everyone is able to find and pursue that passion with great vigor, because once you are living in this thing in which you are so passionate about, it's like you'll never work another day in your life, and people will pay you. No one will have to beg you to come to work. No one will have to beg you to improve whatever labor you are providing, because if you are passionate about it, you will be self-improving and self-correcting. And so if we can have a system of education that makes it easier for someone to find their passion and develop all of the skills that you need, just because you're passionate about something, you still have a skill set. You might need to know mathematics or weights and measures, or you might need to know some other type of skill in which you need some technical training for, so that you can be the best you can possibly be at your passion. So I don't want us to miss an opportunity that maybe we haven't considered, because it's very easy to get depressed about what you see in the city of Milwaukee and want to move away. A lot of people have moved away, never to come back. They move to greener pastures. They move to places where maybe their education goes a little bit further, or quite honestly, where their dollar goes a little bit further. Up until fairly recently, I always believed that Milwaukee, or Wisconsin specifically, was a relatively low tax environment. Now, it depends now. Depends on where you live and your property tax rate and the property tax levy. It depends on a bunch of things. But our sales tax, still 5% in most of the state. For a while, it was 5.5% in Milwaukee County. Then it did a pretty big jump. There also was a corresponding jump in our property taxes because you all wanted to vote for the referendum for MPS. And whether you regret that decision or not, your property taxes are likely not going down because of it. And what I'll say about that very briefly is I could see if the investments that we were making, because we really take education seriously. A lot of people do. They do. And if the young people need more resources, we are willing to oblige as long as we are getting some kind of a return on our investment. And I don't know if we're seeing it. Yesterday, I talked about these major discipline disparities that exist in the MPS school district. I also found out yesterday that less than 50% of the student body of the Milwaukee public school system is African American, and it has trickled down steadily over the last decade. So now the majority of black students do not go to an MPS school. Ladies and gentlemen, let that be the referendum on that school district. Let me digress off of the MPS and the school stuff for a second. But I did want to bring up that those disparities, they still exist. Not only do the disparities and expulsions and suspensions amongst black students still exist, they're getting worse and more severe, even though there are actually less black students in the district. Like, they're, the last time we've had this low of a number of black students in a district, you probably go back to the 60s. And even though there are less black students to suspend and to expel, their numbers of suspensions and expulsions are continuing to rise. The Trump administration said you cannot use any kind of cultural competence if you want to revise your policies, which is insane to me, because if we notice, and we did, that black students for committing the same offense have harsher punishments and penalties, then we might need to look at some of the policies that are in place district-wide. Also come to find out that the district has a discipline manager. Whew, they walk around with a bullwhip. But the Trump administration said it is racist to change your policies, even if the policies that are in place are punitive to black children. It is illegal and violates the 1964 Civil Rights Act to look at race in making a policy determination. Man, Trump got us good. But I said all that to say, these are reasons why parents are turning elsewhere and why people are leaving. They're going somewhere else. They might be moving a county away. Or maybe they're moving a state away. Maybe they're moving to a different region. I'm going to tell you where they're not moving to. They're not moving to Racine. Hell, if you're thinking about moving to Racine, you might as well stay here. I don't know what you would get from moving to Racine. If you move to Racine, you might as well keep your lease here because you're coming back. But there's opportunities here, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm happy to announce that we're about 9/10 of the way there. I don't want to jinx it, but maybe. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. We're going to reinvigorate our long-standing partnership with an organization called Visit Milwaukee, and they are a travel and tourism organization. And their whole point, their whole reason for existing is to get more people to come to Milwaukee and discover Milwaukee and book hotels in Milwaukee and rent cars in Milwaukee and come to Milwaukee for the conventions and the restaurants. You know, a few months ago, we had a number of Milwaukee restaurants that were nominated for one of the most prestigious restaurant awards in all of the land, these Michelin star restaurants. This is very prestigious. Any city that has a Michelin restaurant or two, they're going to see an uptick in travel and tourism dollars because, believe it or not, even if this economy isn't doing so well, people will travel to go to nice restaurants. Or if you're already going to be in that city, you want to know where the good places to eat are. I don't travel as much as I'd like, and we're going to be talking about traveling today because I want to take a trip with you all, as the title of the show suggests. But when I do travel to a new place, a new state, a new city, I want to see and feel the experience of that place, because every place is known for something. Anywhere you go, it's odd. Oh, we're known for the biggest ball of yarn, or we're known for the most amount of gravel per capita. Like, every place you go is known for something internationally. It's weird. America's a very funny place. We also travel to go to restaurants. Man, do I want to do a side note on this, but it's too early to start offending y'all. I'm fascinated by these food influencers, these food rating people, and they do millions and millions, if not billions, of views every year on social media. So you have people that go to restaurants and they review 5 out of 10, and they'll eat in their car sometimes, or maybe they're eating in the restaurant and they're filming their experience and they're sharing, you know, the food and the service of whatever restaurant in great detail. I'm so fascinated by this because there's like a culture within a culture. I also come to find out that if you're one of these food influencers, which is just a weird thing to be, if you would have said to me in 1992, hey, Sherwin, with my high top fade and my 17 years of age, if you would have said to me, hey, Sherwin, one day people are going to be food influencers, that wouldn't even have made any sense to us. Think about some of the things that people do now to make money. If you would have told me in 1992, how old was I in 92? 17? What year was I born? 75? 17? 16? Whatever. If you would have told me that some of the girls that I was going to high school with that I really, really wanted to see naked, but couldn't for obvious reasons. Now, some I did see naked. But the ones I really wanted to see naked, I couldn't. If you would have told me in 1992, just wait, Sherwin. Just wait. And for $8.99 on your computer or your smartphone, you'll be able to see some of those women. Now it's their daughters. Be able to see them naked for $8.99 a month.
Boing, boing, boing.
Food is a big industry. We have a lot of restaurants. Personally, I think that we're oversaturated with restaurants. Every time I open one of these apps, I'm seeing a new restaurant that's opening and a new food influencer that is trying out the food and rating the service. And it's great. I think it's wonderful for the city, especially if you are from somewhere else. You can hashtag Milwaukee restaurants, and you can get overwhelmed with the number of places to eat in all the different neighborhoods. So I'm glad to be reinvigorating our partnership with Visit Milwaukee. So twice a month, you're going to hear segments from me, and I may be joined by other guests, maybe even other hosts, and we're going to talk about the things there are to do in the city of Milwaukee. We're going to talk about entertainments. We're going to talk about food and restaurants, all of the things. Also, in preparation for something you may have heard me mention some time ago, the Black Travel Summit is coming to Milwaukee. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a big deal. This also goes back to what I was saying just a little while ago before I went on my food influencers tangent. The Black Travel Summit is a collection of content creators that have millions upon millions of followers, and they are very influential. And they're relatively young. They're Gen Z, and they are millennial, and they are all either African or African-American or some combination of both. The Black Travel Summit is a global platform and an annual event founded in 2019 by Miss Anita Moreau. It empowers Black travel professionals, creators, entrepreneurs, and investors while connecting Black-owned businesses to the broader tourism ecosystem. To give you an example, last year the Black Travel Summit was in Rio de Janeiro. They travel all over the world, and they rate their experiences as Black travelers in those international destinations. And they're in Europe, and they go to Southeast Asia, and they travel to the Caribbean. They go all over. They are coming to Milwaukee. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not an accident. This also represents one hell of an opportunity for us to showcase our city, the best parts of our city, the good parts of our city, the parts of our city that when you put the flashlight on them, they glimmer and they glisten. A real opportunity to showcase the best of who we are. And I do not want to miss this moment. In fact, I'm looking forward to the Travel Summit being here. So they're going to be here October 14th through the 18th. And as those dates grow nearer, you're likely going to hear from actual members of the Black Travel Summit, because we're going to be hosting them here on 1017 The Truth. I'm also going to share with you a little bit of their itinerary. You might be able to participate in some of the events and some of the workshops that they're going to have at the Baird Center and other places throughout the city. But this is going to highlight our Black-owned businesses, and more specifically, our Black-owned restaurants. And I do not want us to miss this moment. I come to find out this morning that just African-American travelers are a $145 billion industry. Let me put this in perspective. Let me round that up to $150 billion. That's not no small potato. So for those of you that think that Black people are broke and ain't got no money, oh, no. And I got to push back on this narrative that all the Black people are getting all of the public assistances and getting all of the welfares. Some Black folks are insanely rich. Here's the thing. They keep their mouth shut about it. They may not be flashy dressed. They may not be wearing all of the jewelries. They may not have nice cars, but they will spend 10 grand on a vacation like it ain't nothing. And some of you might be listening and saying, well, Sherwin, why you got to focus on Black travel and leisure? Why you got to focus on Black tourism? Because it's a different experience for us. And I'm tired of talking to white folks like you're 4 years old, like you don't know what racism is, like you don't know what institutional and structural racism is. Stop acting stupid. There are days when I'm in the mood to talk to y'all like children. Some days I'm not. I'm not talking to y'all like children. So if you're one of those white people, Sherwin, why you gotta always make it about race? Because it is. White privilege is not you get a great job and make a bunch of money. No, no, white people have, they got to struggle. And sometimes they're dumb and they're unemployed and they're on welfare. White privilege is you can go to any city in this country and don't have to worry about your safety being in jeopardy by law enforcement because of the color of your skin. That's really all the privilege y'all got. Y'all have the ability to not have to think about how you are going to be negatively impacted by the color of your skin. And that's a privilege I don't know nothing about. Because one of the reasons why I don't travel is because I don't know if I'm going to be safe there. And now that I come to find out that Black travel and tourism is $145, almost $150 billion industry, the whole U.S. tourism market is $800 billion. We're $150 billion of that. That's serious now. And the Black Travel Summit is coming to Milwaukee. So here's what we're going to do now. I'm take a break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to get into the details of Black travel, Black tourism. We're going to look at who travels internationally and who doesn't. We're going to look at the generations. Do the Gen Zs travel? Do the Generation Xs and the Millennials? What about the Black baby boomers? Do they travel? And when they do travel, where do they go? How much money do they spend? Do you all have passports? Have you used your passports? Because we are a tremendous industry. And guess who should be benefiting more than anybody from that $145 billion? Us. We're going to dig into it today. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes exclusively on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Girl, you know why. Keep me entertained by the tone that you talk.
If you go to YouTube.com or open up your YouTube app from your smartphone or other mobile device, search 101.7 The Truth, hit subscribe. You'll be able to view the live in-studio cameras of all of our broadcasts. And if you ever miss a broadcast, they're all there on the YouTube. But more importantly, you will be able to vote in our YouTube poll. It's a very simple question because, you know, we have inquisitive temperaments here. We want to know what you're thinking. Question is, have you gone on vacation so far this year in 2026? Now, there's still some months left, but summertime is the most likely time that folks are going to pack up. And let me be a little more specific here. Go on vacation, like not a staycation where you take 2 days off of work and just sit around the house and just eat food and order DoorDash. No. Have you traveled at least 250 miles from home for leisure in the year 2026? I would have thought that more of you would have taken a vacation or traveled more than 250 miles in the year 2026. Only 39% of you have, 61% of you have not. And for those of you that have not taken a trip, which I highly recommend, just get away for a little bit, because Milwaukee, it'll drive you nuts. I can tell I've been here too long and I need to get away because I start to go a little batty. You all hear it every morning. Oh, Sherwin, might need to go on a vacation. Went to Memphis for a little while over the 4th of July. That's all I need. I just need to get away for a little bit. I don't need to be gone for no two damn weeks because it's too hard for me to adjust to life back at home if I've been gone for too long. It's rough. And then you got, there's like this, I don't want to call it depression because that's probably too extreme of a word. It's like dysthymia, which is like a low level of depression. Because when you're flying back, let's say you had the time of your life. You went on the best vacation ever. You had some good fun and you met some wonderful people and you ate good food. You ain't have a care in the world. One of them vacations where you leave your phone in the room. You don't care who calling you, because guess what? Ain't nothing you going to do about it because you're far away. Don't call me. I'm on vacation. What you want me to do? We'll worry about it when I get back. You know the kind of vacation where you don't even got to check your phone? Where you're just out and about and maybe the weather is nice. You're doing all of the things that you wanted to do. And the thing about traveling to a new place in a new city, it's almost like you can become a new person. Sometimes when I travel, I just talk to everybody with a Jamaican accent because how in the hell do they know? Oh, hello, sir. Can I help you? Yeah, man, you can help me. Need a lot to help now. Wagwan! Be whoever you want when you're on vacation. But isn't this always a very common thing that happens when you go on vacation? You're having a good time. Maybe you went to California. Maybe you went to Nevada. I don't know where you went. You went to Seattle, Washington, and visited Bailey Coleman's family because they are the only black people in Washington State. Or maybe you went to Florida and the vacation getting good to you. You living a good life, because being on vacation is like being retired the right way. Especially if you plan it out real good. And don't we always say the same thing? When we're in some faraway city and we're having a good time, we look around and we're like, I could live here. We always say that. You ain't moving to that damn vacation spot, because once you move there, you're going to hate it. So it appears that only, well, now the numbers are changing a little bit. So 59% of you, that's still a really high number. I would suggest you guys just take a little time away, unless you have one of those jobs where you can't, you don't have any extended paid time off, but take a little, even a little road trip. You know what I mean? Just to get out of here and just experience something else. I got a bunch of stuff here that I want to roll into the conversation, because I also want us to be able to take full advantage of Black people, African Americans specifically. We are an almost $150 billion travel and leisure tourism market, just us. So think about this. I want to get somebody's juices flowing. I know what I'm going to say today is not for everybody. Listen to me. Let me be clear about this. When I have my radio shows, it ain't for everybody. It's for the people that are interested. So if you ain't interested, don't say, well, Sherwin, that's not me. I'm not interested. Then go listen to TMJ. Go find old Tory Lowe rerun then. But for people that want to do something new and want to try something new and want to be innovative, having places and spaces that cater to a Black traveler, not a Black Milwaukeean. I'm so sick of y'all opening up these damn Black restaurants thinking that Black people going to be your only customers. Black folks in this city are tapped out. We don't need no more Jamaican food. We don't need no more people to make candles. We don't need no more goddamn sea moss. Stop it.
And that's the truth.
Start catering to people that are coming into town because they work for Northwestern Mutual and they do their annual meeting here. Start catering to people that might come to Milwaukee for Summerfest that are African-American. They want to do a cultural experience outside of whatever is at Henry Mayer Meyer Festival Park. That's where the money is at, because people are looking for culturally relevant things to do. Now, there's not, in my opinion, we got a bunch of different chambers of commerce. I don't know what the hell they do, and I hate to admit that. You got a Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce. You got an African-American Chamber of Commerce. The gays got a Chamber of Commerce. I think the Jews have one. Everybody got the Hispanics. The Hispanics got a big Chamber of Commerce. Their Chamber of Commerce is political. Chambers are supposed to provide opportunities, information, resources to help businesses of particular races and ethnicities thrive, because those businesses have cultural differences, and that's the best thing about diversity. Because you could be Black and want to go to a bunch of Mexican restaurants, you might want to go to a bunch of Asian restaurants. Chambers are supposed to foster those kinds of efforts and those endeavors. So we have chambers, but I don't know if there is a concerted effort to capture the Black person who comes to Milwaukee with money to spend because they're here on vacation. Is there anything catering to them? I think we are so pigeonholed into thinking that anything that you build or you start business-wise in Milwaukee has got to cater to Milwaukee Black people. I'm going to say something. I'm going to leave you with a little cliffhanger, and I'm going to take a commercial break because I'm going to say this thing because it's offensive. So I'm going to say it, and I'm basically going to run the commercial. Xavier, get ready with that button, because when I say this thing I'm about to say, I got to run a commercial because some of y'all going to get mad at me. But all I'm doing is speaking the 101.7, the truth. You can get mad all you want to. I'm used to it. Y'all still mad at me when I said Colin Kaepernick was a fraud. He is. Where's he at now? Thought so. Dude just didn't want to get cut from the 49ers, so he decided he was going to take advantage of racial justice issues. And it's weird because Colin Kaepernick took advantage of people and use race and kneeling for the national anthem, even though Marshawn Lynch had been kneeling for the national anthem and sitting down for the national anthem since 2006. Y'all didn't notice that because Marshawn Lynch was doing it for the exact same reason. But in 2016, when Colin Kaepernick did it, oh, my God, he loves the struggle. No, you can't cut a player if they all of a sudden are a crusader for racial justice. It would have made the San Francisco 49ers look like a racist team. But then what happened at that exact same time? Donald Trump was politically organizing on the opposite end of that issue. See how that worked? Be careful of these deceptive figures. They will take advantage of you and lie to you. However, I digress. Here's what I would say. If I was to start some kind of endeavor and it would be catering to African-American travelers or African-American dollars, if I wanted a Black client base in my business, I don't want Milwaukee Black people. I don't want you. I want black folks from somewhere else, from Dearborn, Michigan, from Albany, New York, from Dover, Delaware. I want to welcome them here because some of y'all are too much. Some of y'all going to, Sherwin got bad service. Shut up. I treat people from somewhere else better than I treat some of y'all because y'all are just rude and disrespectful. Ooh, I got to run a commercial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Mintel's 2025 Multicultural Travel Research reports that about 8 in 10 black consumers, roughly 80%, had, in fact, taken a vacation during the previous 12 months. However, Mintel also reports that black and Hispanic consumers take vacations less frequently than the overall U.S. travel market. That being said, I want to emphasize that African-American travelers are a $145 billion industry, meaning there might be a smaller percentage of us compared to other races, and I'm going to get into the details of that. White folks travel a lot. They do. Some of it is income. It is. And some of it is also age, because, you know, white populations are older. White folks are actually going extinct. The average age of a white person in this country is like 50 or getting close to 50 years old, which means a couple of things. They are what we call post-reproductive. White people aren't having kids anymore because they're too goddamn old. But they also, in their advanced age, probably have more money, more assets, more savings, more accumulated wealth, and more equity from their homes, because a lot of times their homes, whether they bought their homes or not, and if they did buy their homes, think about how much cheaper homes were, especially when older baby boomer white folks were purchasing homes. $40,000, $50,000 could have got you a really nice house in the suburbs. That same house is now worth $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. So, of course, they're going to travel more. But when African-Americans do travel, oh, my, do we spend. And I don't want it to be like a niche thing, like it's just a small segment of African-American folks that travel. That's why I'm glad the Black Travel Summit is coming, and I'm glad that we're going to be partnering with them, because when I do some of the interviews with some of the folks that are part of this organization, the Black Travel Summit, they're going to list where they have been, what the experience is like, and where you should go and where you shouldn't go, because as black people, we don't know if our safety is guaranteed. I'm used to America, and I know how to spot. You know what I mean? You can tell when you're in a place or in a space or in a neighborhood or in a suburb of some city that you're visiting where the vibe is off. I mean, okay, I can tell here. I can also look around and look at some of the cultural cues. Sometimes they're welcoming. Sometimes they're discouraging. But because I'm American and I am very much in tune with how America exhibits its love or hate for different cultures, it makes sense to me here. But if I travel somewhere else, I might go to Europe somewhere and think that these Europeans love me, and they might be trying to form a rally to hang me that night. I'm like, oh, these Europeans are just so nice. And then, you're nigger, hello, you nigger. You, we don't like the blacks over here. Call blimey, nigger. And yes, all the countries say that word. Did you know that? There could be a country where English is not even a predominant language, but they know that N-word. Let's talk to somebody else who knows the N-word. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Sherwin. You know, you said just a minute ago, people like you, Sherwin. Even some of these white folks like you, Sherwin. What are you talking about? Oh, you ain't gonna like me. You ain't gonna like what I say. No, we like you, Sherwin.
Bob, hold on now. I don't do what I do for approval. I do what I do to further what we know. So if somebody likes me or not is inconsequential. I just know people are sensitive. That's what it is. They hear stuff that doesn't match what they think and what they know, and they get all mad. Y'all are some emotional people. You blacks are, especially you, Bob.
Well, Sherwin, you're a little aggravating sometimes, but we like you, Sherwin. Ain't nothing wrong, you know. And a whole lot of white folks, I believe, like you.
So
you
what? What does that mean? What I'm supposed? What my life is complete now? Because some white folks like me, ain't it don't mean nothing to me. As long as my people, my friends and my family and my circle like me, that's all I need. Anything outside of that, I ain't losing no sleep. I sleep butt naked with the fan on. Ass out.
No, Sherwin.
Ass it out. Means say it with me, Bob. Say ass out. Say it. Me and you say ass out.
No, Sherwin. It means something to you. To
hold
other
on, Bob.
People
Bob.
Like
say it. Say ass out. Let me hear you say it.
No, Sherwin. I'm not saying that on the air.
Wait. You're not saying what?
Sherwin, don't have me cussing on it yet. No. You know, I got to ask. But Sherwin, people like you, man. You need to be talented, you know? So quit saying that.
Do you have anything to say on the actual topic of travel and leisure and tourism? When was the last time you went on vacation, Bob? Because you need one. Bad. And you need to stay there.
Now, I told you, Wisconsin and Illinois is enough for me. I don't need to get, and I get tired of you talking about Racine. Now you leave Racine alone, man. Racine is cool, man. It's nice in Racine. You always talking about Racine.
Racine ain't gonna do nothing to me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we disagree, but we like you. You know, I mean, you know, quit talking about Racine. That's what you do.
What you gonna do about it? What you gonna do about it?
Well, I'm saving up for that medal on my right hand, and it's going to enter your chest if I don't see them teeth. I will talk to you later, sir. It will enter that chest if I don't see them teeth. I'll talk to you.
He's starting to fade. I think he's just kind of slowly just kind of.
Yeah, it's sad.
Bob is just kind of withering away right in front of our eyes. Even though there is no actual census-style federal statistic that asks every racial group, quote, did you take a vacation this year? The best recent estimates come from major travel industry surveys. Mintel is one of them, and they did a 2025 multicultural research report that showed 8 in 10, roughly 80%, of black consumers had taken at least one vacation in the past 12 months. However, Mintel also reports that black consumers take vacations somewhat less frequently than the overall U.S. travel market. Another organization, MMGY Travel Intelligence, they have a much larger black traveler study that provides additional evidence. Its research includes 6,523 black leisure travelers with a 54,428 person U.S. leisure travel sample. It estimated that leisure trips totaled 184.12 million. That's for everybody. The share of all U.S. leisure trips are only 11%. So a lot of y'all, when you travel, you're traveling for work, for business, or for family. Travel spending for African. Oh, this is black travel. Oh, wait a minute. Let me do this right. Black people took 184.12 million trips. So that means a bunch of y'all took multiple trips in a year. I like that. We are 11% as black people. This is race specific. We're 11% of all U.S. leisure trips. We spent $145 billion when we were out of town traveling and on some kind of a vacation. Here's another very important one. 79% of African Americans who travel by car. Average one-way distance, 247 miles. And then black travelers planning another vacation next year is 76%. That 11% share of leisure trips is slightly below the Black Americans' roughly 13 or 14% share of the U.S. population, but it's really, really close. So we basically travel almost in the same proportion as our representation in the population, which I think is a really good, healthy economic sign and a healthy economic indicator. Because one of the reasons why I don't travel, because now if I travel, it's got to be done right. I got to do it big. I need to have better accommodations than I have at home. I don't do hotels anymore. I can't do a hotel anymore. I can't. It's like being in a damn studio apartment. I can't do it. I have a house. I've lived in a house for a very long time. So when I go on vacation, I want house-like things. I want a stove in case I want to cook. I ain't got to go to restaurants for every single meal. I might want, if I'm going to be there for a week or more, I might go to the grocery store, give me a couple little few items, put it in the refrigerator or in the Airbnb. I like having a house. Like no damn hotel, especially if I'm going on vacation with another person. I hate sharing a hotel room with another human being. I hate it because you can't. They gotta leave the room sometimes. I don't want them. Why are you in the room? Well, because we got this hotel room together. Well, that was a mistake. Trying to save money. So if I travel, I gotta do it right. I want real nice accommodations. I want to go to nice restaurants. I want to do something that is unique to that area because chances are I've never been there before. Maybe I want to go see a show or something that I can only do in that particular city. Here's the thing. It's very expensive, and sometimes I got to justify. I'm going to spend $2,500, $2,600 for a weekend. Sometimes I'll be like, nah, I'll just go down by the lakefront here in Milwaukee. Spend $19.32. It has always been difficult for me, and this is one of my problems. Maybe as I get older, this might change. It's hard for me to justify coming off like $3,000. I'm going to be right back home in a couple few days. Experiences are great, but I can't easily trade big amounts of money just for the experience. It doesn't economically make sense to me. I'm paying $3,000 for some memories? I mean, memories are great. But damn, I can do a lot with 3Gs. Take a break, come back. Delve in a little bit further on how important the African-American traveler is. And hopefully, we will be respected as a niche market that should be catered to in the cities and places and spaces that we choose to travel to. Milwaukee is one of them. We are a big travel and tourism city. Doesn't really seem like it, but we are. But if we are welcoming Black travelers to Milwaukee, what kind of experience do we want them to come away with? Where do we recommend they go? Obviously, that we want them to see downtown. We want them to see the neighborhoods. We also have to highlight the segregation in this city because that is a part of the story. And I think it makes some of the more attractive venues that we have shine that much brighter because they were created in an environment that had always been hostile to African-American economics. I'm going to take a break, come back. What's your favorite travel destination? Ladies and gentlemen, where would you recommend? Where is your favorite place to go to? Do you have a go-to? Put it in the YouTube chat. I want to know where you guys like to travel to so I can get some ideas. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Dono DZ says, I try to travel outside of Wisconsin every year. Unfortunately, this year, life was lifing. Planning to go to Niagara Falls on the Canada side in 2027 or Paris, France. I know a lot of people that's been to Paris. Every single one of them says it's overrated and Parisians stink. Europeans got different hygiene habits than Americans. I was very disappointed. And these are people that I trust. It's not, no, sure, when Paris is gross. another one, up Rome, is disgusting too. Gross. Crowded. People stink. They're rude. Don't be, if I'm traveling, because I'm in a good mood if I'm out of Milwaukee. Don't yuck my yum. If a Parisian or a Roman is disrespectful to me, you're going to catch some black American hands is what's going to, and I'm going to be in a European jail and ain't no telling what's going to happen to me. But I don't tolerate that. I'm in your country. I'm here spending money, good money. I'm spending American currency now, bringing American culture to your country, black American culture. You're going to be rude to me? They said restaurant service is poor because they don't do the whole tipping thing. That's a us thing. You'll sit there because, you know, the Europeans are leisurely. Some of them only work 4 days a week. They go home in the middle of the day, take naps, go back to work when they feel like it. Weird. That's that damn socialism is what the hell it is. Let's talk to Linda. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Good morning, Professor. It's a great day in Milwaukee.
Every day is a great day.
I love this topic. I love this topic, but more importantly, I just had to call because I'm loving those Zaddy Daddy glasses. Man, that's putting you in a whole nother category, Sherry.
Sha-boing, boing, boing.
Boing. But I also called because I wanted to say, Sharon, did you see the latest on the schools in Wisconsin that is getting A+?
No.
Whitefish Bay. I mean, they got like 20 in Wisconsin that is, you know, they got Reagan, College Preparatory, Hamilton, Nicolet, but I don't see MPS nowhere, man.
King,
I mean,
should be on
I
the
guess
list.
That's one.
Well, Reagan is, huh? In Reagan is in Milwaukee. King is probably on the list too, I'm sure.
Yeah, Muskego. But yeah, they got a lot of like 20, it's 30, 35 schools that are reaching national level for recognition, man. They're calling it, you know, great school system. And I don't know what that means, but I just find it quite interesting.
You said system, that, like STEM, S-T-E-M, science, technology, engineering, and math. I'm assuming that stands for.
Yeah. But I just find it so upsetting, man. Just so upsetting when you look at the statistics of MPS. But I'm really glad you're showing how that parents are getting smarter and taking their kids out of MPS. If MPS is failing and not meeting the requirements and expectations of the family, of the parent, take them out. Put them where they will advance, they will progress. Because, yeah, Sharon, this is a time where we have to rethink, reimagine, really, our disposition in this country and our safety and the fact that we can do and progress and become whatever we want to become, for real. I believe that.
Hello,
in
somebody.
Of, huh?
I said, hello somebody. Ha-ha.
Yeah, I say that, Sharon, because I, you know, I came out of the church and I came out of the pulpit. And instead of saying amen to the church, I say hello, somebody.
All right, now.
All right.
Thank you, Linda.
See you later, sexy.
Linda, relax. First of all, Zaddy is something that a younger, much younger woman would call a more mature man. If you're my age or older than me, you can't call me Zaddy. You can call me Mister. Or you can take the Z off of it and we can just do Daddy. You can call me Pretty. I don't know if I like that one. Women get jealous sometimes because men are prettier than they are because we wear our natural hair. You know what I mean? We sometimes prettier than the women. Fellas, you know what? You know how women say, oh, these men are intimidated by me. No, they're not. Women are actually intimidated by good men because they know that they can't have that man because they're nuts. They know they don't deserve a good man. That's why they keep dating bums, because a bum you can control, because a bum
you got agency over him because he is worthless. He ain't got no job. He ain't got no future. You can dominate a bum, but a good man is going to tell you what to do, ma'am. And some women are like, oh, no, I can't. He's going to realize that I'm nuts, and he's not going to love me, so I got to just be intimidated by him.
Women be so scared, and they're terrible at approaching. Women are awful at it. I thought men are bad. Women would be like,
hi, do you like butterflies and chocolate milk? What? Try better than that, lady.
But you got to give them credit because they'd be so nervous. They'd be all trembly. Because if a woman is really, really feeling you, she will approach you and just say the dumbest stuff ever. But we still love you anyways, ladies. I'm going to take a break, come back for hour two. I'm going to dig into some problems and issues that I think that travelers from all over that come to Milwaukee are going to experience, especially when they go to a black-owned restaurant, because we have some improving to do when it comes to the service that we provide and our levels of hospitality, number one. Number two, where do black people even learn hospitality nowadays? Because we used to learn manners in school. It used to be a part of the culture at home. That don't exist like that no more. Let's talk about it all during hour two. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.